we are getting ready to bring in our next guest, which is Connie Chandler, who I
very
love.
Exciting.
I love this woman. She's awesome.
She's got a lot going on.
She's really, she's just fantastic. She has been, she's a licensed science of mind practitioner since 1992. She's studied metaphysics. She's also a mystic, and we're going to ask her what that is when she comes on out of the blue room. And she studied metaphysics for 22 years and has instructed it for 15. She studied the Abraham teaching since 1995. And if you, any of you are on the Abe's Hicks Yahoo group, you know what I'm saying. When she emails you or she makes a post, you know that she's channeling Abraham. That's what I figured in my mind anyway. I don't know if it's true, but that's how I feel. She has authored a free e-book. If you go to her site, she'll tell you about that, A Gift of Vision, and it's awesome. It's an awesome read, as well as 49 daily guides published in the Science of Mind magazine. I'm telling you, this woman is powerful. Yeah. Connie's an accomplished author, speaker, and teacher, and has successfully created and manifested financial independence. And her vision is to uplift consciousness, share her ideas with others who are interested, sort of get that energy moving, even if it moves a little bit. And I remember she said that she likes it when the energy moves,
right,
for people. So we're going to bring Miss Connie Chandler out of the green room. Oh, blue room. We don't have a green room here.
I am unmuted. I love it when I get to speak.
There you are.
I've had such a great time listening to you both and to Jamie. What a wonderful first hour.
Oh, cool.
Great.
Yeah, we like Jamie. He's a cool guy.
He's a delight.
Yeah, he really was.
But we like you, too.
Thank you. There's enough love to go around for all of us.
Of
yes,
course.
Definitely.
Of course, of course. I'm just so glad that both of you were able to make it on the show tonight.
It's a joy.
Well, Miss Connie, did you enjoy your stay over there in the blue room? Huh?
I'll tell you, the flowers in the blue room are exquisite.
I know
there
that.
There is a jug of daisies and Gerbera daisies and carnations.
Those are my
pink
favorite.
And white that just makes my heart sing.
Very nice.
Sitting here staring at it at the moment. I just am so pleased that you took such good care of me tonight.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for being here.
That's so sweet.
I know you people are trying to figure out, what are we talking about? That's why she's in the blue room. We have our guests in the blue room just like every other big, huge show there is on the planet.
Yep.
Okay? This is a big, huge show, just so you know. Well, Miss Connie, you heard us talking about spirituality versus religion and how law of attraction fits into religion, and you are a science of mind practitioner, and Jamie did say that you would talk to us a little bit about that. I know something about unity. I'm really not all that familiar, and I don't know about our audience if they know all about science of mind, but could you elaborate a little bit?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Religious science or science of mind is a new thought religion like unity. The Fillmore started Unity in the early 20th century, the late 19th century. Ernest Holmes started Science of Mind in, around 1919. He wrote his first book, and religious science took off in a slightly different direction. They had many of the same founding philosophers.
Right.
They both traced their understanding back to Phineas Quimby and the Transcendentalists and the teachings of Jesus as interpreted by those who were studying them rather than necessarily by a church. And so what made religious science a little bit different is that Ernest Holmes studied Eastern religions as well as Western religions, and did not make religious science specifically a Christian denomination. Unity is called the School of Christianity.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's very Bible-based and New Thought metaphysically oriented, where religious science quotes the the Hindu religion and the Buddhist religion and actually honors other religions rather than separates itself from religion, I personally would not want to create a competition between religion and spirituality.
Right.
I think, as Abraham Hicks says, in everything in the universe, there's that which you want and the lack of it. And we can look at religions and find the joy that resides within them and bless them for the good that they do in the world and honor each path. And one of the things that really drew me to religious science when I first went to my very first church in the mid-1980s in Denver is that as part of the service, they blessed all paths. They blessed all religions. And I had never seen a philosophy that was that inclusive, that looked for the truth in all of the religions. And the way I choose to personally understand it is that God is infinite. And therefore, our local perspective doesn't see the whole truth. No matter how broadly we still don't see it all. And that each of the religions have people following their path who achieve mastery in their own way, and that each of them has a clear path up the mountain. And it's not the pinnacle of the mountain that's God, it's all God. So we each do our best to interpret the divine from our local perspective. I think it was Jane Goodall who said, looking at the universal is like trying to look at the sea through a rolled up newspaper. Seeing a tiny bit of it and thinking that you have the whole picture. And each of us have the piece of it that we hold dear. And the only place we go wrong is saying that everyone else is wrong, that our way is the only way. All of the paths have beauty. All of the paths have grace. And if we honor each path, I think that we find that we have a lot more that we share with each other than that we differ.
Wow. Well, now you are a mystic, yes?
I identify myself in that way, too. I can tell you the story about how I got there.
That's what I want to know. How did you know that you're a mystic, and how did you get there?
Well, the truth is that I...
Well, what is it first? What is a mystic?
A mystic is one who has a direct connection to truth.
Okay.
Is able to intuit and interpret the divine vibration.
See, that's why when you post, when you make those posts, I feel it. I'm like, oh, my God. Every time you make a post and I read it, I look for you.
Thank you. Well, I believe that everyone is a mystic.
Sure.
That we each see something so clearly. But sometimes it's so familiar, we don't know that other people don't see it.
Right.
And so let me tell you the story about how I got to identify myself as a mystic, because it was
okay.
A huge turning point in my life. I started going to a Science of Mind church, and I took the foundational class, the Science of Mind 101 class. And 3 weeks into the class, the minister came up to me during the break with the Science of Mind textbook open to a chapter. Now, one of the chapters is called Law of Attraction, but that wasn't the chapter she gave me that day. She gave me the chapter called What the Mystics Have Taught. And she said, you're a mystic and you don't know what to do with it, but read this and you'll find out. And the truth was that I had always been a very sensitive, receptive person. And the part of my life I didn't talk about was the Sunday afternoon when things were quiet, when I would hear the voices of the people who had lived in my apartment. And I always stayed busy because I thought I was crazy. And if I stayed busy enough, I didn't hear the voices. But what I discovered when I started reading the Science of Mind textbook totally changed my life. Because what Ernest Holmes said is that if you are sensitive and receptive, you have to tune the radio dial to the place you want to receive. And what you want to receive is the vibration of Source. You want to receive the divine. And the way you tune your receiver to receive the divine is to focus on God, to spend your life in contemplation of God, to read things about what other people have said about God, to pray and to meditate. and to share your life with that which is the most beautiful, the most powerful, the most pure that you can find. And when you make that choice to tune the receiver, we're each a receiver, then what comes in is of that vibration, not all the lower vibrations. So at that point, I had to give up reading murder mysteries and watching crime shows on television and start thinking about the divinity of humanity rather than the problems with it. And it made all the difference. All of a sudden, instead of this noisy, crazy, chaotic mind that I had, all of a sudden I started having what I now call spacious mind, a place that was peaceful, where the thoughts were loving, where the fears and the criticism began to fall away and were replaced by ideas that were beautiful and the opportunity to connect more deeply with spirit.
Wow.
I know, that's all we could say, right?
Yeah, we're in the same spot there.
Jessica just listened to her talk. I don't even have to ask her questions.
I know.
I was reading on your website, The Path, and I was so moved when I read it because your vision of you walking up this or walking down this steep trail into the valley and seeing all these people walking and carrying their weights, the heaviness, and they were carrying these heavy weights on their shoulders, and the voice told you, and you were doing the same thing, and then you collapsed or something, you stopped on the path, and they said to you to relax the tension, relax your eyes, and just relax, and that you slept there. You know, like when I was reading, I was like, "What did that really happen? What? Wait, was that? Where was she?" You know, but and I realized it must have been a vision that you had. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. My whole book is visions, experiences in meditation, experiences of connection, and I don't see myself as an exception. I believe everybody has a divine connection, and I am blessed in being able to see. Really powerful stories, parables. It's like full motion video sometimes. But when I first began, what I started to see originally was images and symbols. Some people see colors. Some people hear sounds. I have a dear friend who channels music. There are so many different ways. There are kinesthetic mystics and auditory mystics. I personally am a visual mystic. Because I see things. But each of us in our own way has a profound connection. I remember one time I was teaching a meditation class, and we did a meditation several times during the evening, and at the end of the evening, this woman came up to me and she said, "It's not working for me." All I felt was a profound sense of peace. And I just left a really long pause. And she took a breath and she said, "Of course, I've never felt peace before."
And wow.
Feeling peace is a kinesthetic mystical experience. It's a feeling place of source. And some of my most powerful experiences that I call visions have been kinesthetic experiences. Experiences of joy, experiences of love, experiences of peace. Feeling that energy, that divine energy, is exquisite. But I also hear voiceovers. Recently, I was driving, and I was doing the Abraham process called Positive What If.
Right.
And I had been arguing in my mind earlier the day about something that had happened. And in the moment while I was driving, I heard this wonderful voice. It always sounds like James Earl Jones to me. He's my vision voice. And he said, "Practice unconditional receiving."
Practice what?
Unconditional receiving.
Oh, see, I like that. Now, who was that? Who?
That was my vision voice.
Which is vision boy? Hey, vision boy, we like that. Practice unconditional receiving. You know how many people need to hear that? because we tend to give so much. And then when somebody tries to give us something, we tend to go, oh, no, thanks, that's okay, you know, it's good, it's all right, I'm okay.
Right.
Yeah, thanks, I don't need it, it's all right, you know.
Yep, I agree. You give a lot of unconditional love, and then when it comes to receiving, you're shy about accepting anything.
Yeah.
Or you argue about the way it has to come, and that's what I was doing that day.
Oh.
I was not open to the channel through which I was receiving. I was getting what I wanted, but I wanted it to come in a different way. I had an expectation of the form that was not accurate. The path of least resistance was not what I wanted. But I got real clear when I heard that voice say, practice unconditional receiving. I saw how I was fighting the path of least resistance for what I wanted in that moment. And I relaxed and I looked up, which was the message of the path. And I'm so touched that you read my book.
I loved it. Are you kidding? I was trying to print every page. I just go back now. It's like, okay, you don't have to print every page. It's not going anywhere. It's on the internet.
Yep.
Relax.
Okay.
Relax.
Look, relax. Up. Let the tension leave your shoulders.
Yep. the message of the path is that heaven on earth is right here now.
Very
and
nice.
If we stop, relax, and look up, we can see the truth of what's already here.
Right.
And what's here is beautiful.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What's here is beautiful.
Oh, yes, isn't it? Oh, yeah.
It's very nice.
Although some days that's why I have you bookmarked. That's why I have that page bookmarked, because some days are better than others.
That's so true.
But anyway, now, I want to talk a little bit about the importance of diversity within. You know, again, we're talking about law of attraction and how people tend to think that law of attraction does not necessarily fit in with their religion. And you don't have to separate the two. In my mind, what do you think? You don't, right?
Well, Ernest Holmes' original idea about science of mind is that it could fit into any religion. He did not expect to start a religion. He thought that the principles of the universe applied to every religion. He discovered that people in other religions weren't as open to that as he hoped they would be, and ultimately did choose to start a religion so he'd have a place to put the educational programs in the churches and study groups, that he wanted to share the principles of the laws of the universe with people. But the true expectation that he had, and I think the truth is that understanding law of attraction can fit within any religion. It is in every religion. We have a page in our foundational class that tracks the teaching of the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
Give out returns to you. It's the same. And all of the major religions of the world have that teaching embedded within them. The words are different, but the concept is the same.
That's true. I mean, I've studied Buddhism, was a Jehovah's Witness, was a Pentecostal,
uh-huh.
Raised a Pentecostal, and then my parents became Jehovah's Witness, and I read the Torah, I've became a born-again Christian, and that's the one thing that I found. Is that there's this vein of truth that's the same in every single one of them.
Right.
And I was like, okay, all right, what's going on here?
But there's great people in every religion.
Right.
There's deep love and an intention to do good and to be good. And are you familiar with David Hawkins and Power versus Force?
No, I'm not.
That's a really remarkable book. David Hawkins is a medical doctor. He was a psychiatrist, and he is also a PhD in consciousness studies. And he developed something called the Map of Human Consciousness.
The Map of Human Consciousness?
Map of Human Consciousness, which is one of the most remarkable tools I've ever seen. And he describes how human consciousness ranges from shame to guilt and fear and depression and anger into willingness and allowing and love and understanding and love and joy and oneness. And he superimposed it on a scale of 0 to 1,000. It's unbelievably like the Abraham Hicks emotional scale.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say that.
The same stuff, but if you picture a refrigerator door as all of human experience, that Hawkins scale is from 0 at the bottom to 1,000 at the top, and he recognizes people like Jesus and Buddha at 1,000. And then the emotional scale with Abraham Hicks would be like a refrigerator magnet moving up and down wherever you are on that map of human consciousness. And the point that I'm trying to make here is that every place on the map of human consciousness, there is a teacher moving people to the next level. And teacher, every religion is a bridge from one frequency and consciousness to another.
Right.
And that they all open up to the next level, to the next level. And all of the people who are called to serve are coming from their highest truth. And for me, I don't so much pray for peace anymore. What I pray is that everyone who is called will do their work at the highest level they know how.
Right.
And that each person in their own way contributes to the consciousness of humanity from their diversity. Because looking back in the history of the United States, I can't say I'm sorry that we had a Revolutionary War and a Civil War. And why would other civilizations, other countries, not need to go through those chaotic periods of more freedom and more recognition of human rights and more empowerment for individuals that this country had to go through?
Mm.
Abraham once said that there are people who come onto this planet with the intention of being soldiers.
You know what? I heard that.
Yeah. It made me question everything. Because if there is a reason for that, Ernest Holmes quotes the Upanishads somewhere, the Hindu sacred books, that say, if you believe you can slay or be slain, you are mistaken.
Mm.
And to begin to think from a universal perspective, from an eternal perspective, is such a remarkable opportunity that we have in this lifetime to be the light as high a level as we can be within the context of who we are as individuals and to respect all other individuals and their making of their choices. It's an amazing asking of ourselves to do that.
You know, I always believed that there were some of us who came here just that was their intention, to be soldiers.
Uh-huh. Right.
Because I just can't, in my mind, figure out any other way why you would want to do it, because you know that's your intention.
Yeah.
You can't be attracted to something you're not attracted to.
Right. My dad and my second husband, who died when he was 39 years old, were both soldiers. And they were both among the best men I've ever known.
Mm.
And they were proud of their service. It wasn't something that they wished they hadn't done or that they were ashamed of. It was something they were called to do, and they did it at the highest level of honor they knew. And that's a beautiful thing.
That's where they were at.
Nice.
That's just where they were at. So, I mean, I'm not being a criticism. That's where they were. That's what their intention was. That's what their vibration was, and they did it to the best that they could. And they did their job, whatever their intention was. Well,
exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
I bless everyone on the planet who's doing their job at their highest level.
Right. Whatever that may be.
Whatever that may be.
And they may be bringing light to that area there.
I do my job at the highest level I know how to do. And I trust that everything unfolding for good on the planet is happening.
We do have a question in the room.
Yes, we do.
Miss Meta. Meta's got questions.
I'm glad, Meta.
We like her.
Yeah, she's always got great questions. She wants to know, is it possible to only have good energy in the world, or is there always going to be negative energy somewhere?
Well, I don't believe in negative energy. I believe there's degrees of light. In the same way that there's complementarity of heat and cold, there is no cold, really. There's lack of heat. There is no darkness. There's lack of light. And I believe there is the energy of the divine and the lack of it. And to the degree that we allow the fullness of spirit to express through us, we are very bright. And to the degree we block it off, we may look like darkness. But I believe the darkness is really the field of potential rather than evil. And that the choices everyone makes are the best they know how to do in the moment. And so to bless all of those who don't see their way to love in the moment feels best to me. That's how I look at it.
That's very interesting.
For anyone else at the moment. I'm speaking for myself.
I thought it was very interesting.
Thank you.
Well, let me ask you, how do you think prayer, sometimes people pray, they're praying, I don't even know it. I'm not making a judgment, you know, that they are the way they are. But I think that there's a way to pray that doesn't make you feel bad. Some prayers make you feel worse than the actual thing that you're asking for.
Right. There's prayers of supplication and prayers of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And prayers of supplication where you plead and beg with God to do something for you to get you something you don't have. In the studies of prayer that have been done, prayers of affirmation seem to work better than prayers of supplication in healing the sick, for example. There is the opportunity to speak from a place of knowing that well-being exists. One of the things Ernest Holmes said is there is nothing to be disintegrated or reintegrated. There is only the wholeness to be revealed that has always been there. So it sees changes in prayer as a revealing of an existing truth of the expression of God in that moment where God is centered in every moment, in every place. Does that make sense? Did I explain it?
Yeah, so basically it's we already know the truth, really. Is that what you think?
There is that within us which already knows. We may not consciously know, we may not consciously perceive it, but our lives are perfect, whole, and complete already. And we are allowing that wholeness to be revealed as we return to the center, to the truth, to the light.
Okay. So then how would affirmative prayer fit in with law of attraction? Or does it?
It does, absolutely. Prayer is setting yourself up so that you understand how law of attraction is at work in your life. And in Science of Mind, we teach a five-step process of prayer. And the first step is called recognition, which is God is. And in step one, you say God is, and then you explain exactly what you think God is. And then in step two, you say, and I am that. I am that, that God is. And if I don't say wow in step two, I haven't done step one very well.
So that's step one.
Go back to step one and make God bigger so that when I say I am that, I say wow.
Right.
And then step two is called unification. Step three is called realization. Step three is like a script from an Abraham perspective. It's saying, if God is and I am that, therefore my life works in these wonderful ways. because I know where it comes from. It comes from divine life right within me, right here and now. I am so passionate about this. This is like the best thing on the planet to me. So I'll do an example, if you'll let me, after
yes,
I get
please.
Down to the five steps, because it's
please.
Just so incredibly
because I'm loving it. So I don't know about anybody else, but I'm loving it.
I'm loving
you're
it,
you're
too.
Not loving it.
I can't wait
can
to get back to the website
Seattle.
Again.
Step four is Thanksgiving. That's getting to the feeling place of gratitude. Once again, that's exactly what Abraham teaches. It's incorporated right into the format of the prayer. And step five is release. I let go and let the law do its work, which is allowing.
Ah, yeah.
So it incorporates the non-physical reality of life. It incorporates who we truly are. It incorporates my life works. It incorporates, therefore, I am grateful, the feeling place, and then the release and allowing. Isn't that brilliant?
Yes.
I just think it's stunning.
That is so awesome.
That is very awesome.
So what shall we pray about? Let me do a prayer and show you how it works.
All right. What shall we pray about? How about our show?
Okay.
That's a great one.
That's a good
so.
One. That's easy peasy.
Mm-hmm. And so step one is recognition. I know that God is. The infinite life of God is everywhere and always. It is truth and peace and love and power. The infinite grace of spirit filling the universe with ever-flowing light and colors and pictures and waterfalls of flowing light, ever-moving, ever-changing, and always exquisitely beautiful. I know that God is the light. And knowing that God is the light, I know I am the light. And what I know for myself, I see clearly for Sydney and for Diana and for the Indigo Room. I know that there is light here. The light of God is present right here and right now as each of these brilliant women and the power of the work they are doing in the world. And so I bless this work. I bless these radio shows and this website and all that goes into supporting it. I bless the beautiful technology that allows it to be, that allows people from all over the planet to come together in this particular time and space to celebrate the laws of the universe and the realization of the divine right here and right now. I know there are many people who are attracted to this information, who find this website easily, who are inspired to be a part of this ongoing radio show that brings light, that shares love, that allows laughter, and that the passion of these extraordinary women is matched by the passion of their guests and the enthusiasm of all of those who hear and call in and speak and ask. It is so beautiful to behold, and I am grateful to know it. That's the Thanksgiving step. I give thanks for the opportunity to do this work in this moment, to speak this prayer, to know this truth, to see the magnificence of the Indigo Room in all its bright clarity and joy. And step five is release. I relax in trust as I release my word into the law, allowing it to be. For it is good, and it is done, and so it is.
So it is. Wow, that was powerful, Diana. Did you feel that, girl?
Yes, I did. I just want to say we appreciate you so much, Connie. That was a wonderful prayer.
Thank you.
I love how that just flowed. Like you just...
It was so nice.
All the five steps.
She has a beautiful way of putting things.
Thank you.
It was all the five steps right there. Woof, woof, woof.
And it's a very powerful way of doing 68 seconds of pure thought. From
yes.
an Abraham perspective, because if you start with tuning yourself to the divine, as I talked about at the very beginning of the show, when you do steps one and two and you tune yourself to that divine energy, you allow that flow to happen. You step right into that stream of love and intelligence and creativity and peace that is God.
Meta said,
thank
you, Connie.
thank her for me. I appreciate her listening.
It felt like we was like you were blowing fairy dust over here. Like I could feel you all the way from Virginia.
Awesome. I love to pray. It feels really good to me.
That was the most powerful prayer I've heard in a long time.
That was wonderful. Such beauty in it.
One of the things I wanted to tell you and your listeners is that both Science of Mind and Unity have 24-hour prayer lines 365 days a year.
That's true. I used to call Silent Unity. I used to call them all the time.
I can give you the phone numbers if you...
Oh, please do that. Yeah.
Silent Unity is 816-969-2000. And if you don't have the money to pay for the phone call, there's an 800 number, 800-669-7729. And the Science of Mind one is called the World Ministry of Prayer. And the phone number is 800-421-9600.
And that's 24 hours, 365 days a year.
It is. There's
they are open.
Someone there to pray with you.
Well, I do know that the Unity Prayer, they take your prayer request, and I know that they pray over it for 30 days.
That's right.
Which I found totally awesome when I first started going to Unity. I was like, what? You pray over my prayer for 30 days?
Yep.
So let me call you every day.
It's a powerful thing to hear other people affirming for you what
yes.
you know to be your truth.
Yes, because sometimes it's hard. Like for me, I can affirm things for other people much easier than I can for myself.
Uh-huh.
And I can pray for other people much easier than I can pray for myself. And that's one of the things that I think that happens to a lot of people. You know, like we can see things for others manifesting, and sometimes we can't see the thing for ourselves.
That's one of the best things about being a practitioner for me, is that every week for the last 12 years, I've driven down to a town 20 miles from here and met with another practitioner friend, and we pray for lists of people who've made prayer requests. And I did it today. There were probably 60 prayer requests on the list today. And we saw the truth for 60 people. And when you really spend time contemplating the divine in 60 people, you get clearer about who it is in you.
Right.
I think the people who get the most out of praying for people is the prayer.
The prayer person. Well, I do have to say, I ain't gonna lie. Everybody that I pray for, once their situation gets handled, usually 9 times out of 10, whatever's going on with me, and I'm not praying for myself, but
uh-huh.
whatever usually goes on, whatever's going on with me gets taken care of too.
Well,
and if they help,
the divine.
If they help, and if they help me in any way, shape, or form, it's always been like this. I don't know what it is, but like if they help me in any way, shape, or form, do anything for me. Whatever it is that they wanted that day or something extraordinary happens to them.
Yeah.
I said, see, if you help me, I'm telling you, your stuff will work out. And they look at me and they go, what? No, you're not. Yes, no. And then the next thing you know, they'll call up and they go, guess what, Sydney? You know, I got a check for $300. I don't know what happened. Oh, I said, that's because you helped me out yesterday.
What goes around comes around. Law of attraction.
Oh, gosh. Well, does Meta have any more questions for Miss Connie?
Let's see here.
No.
I don't see anything in here.
No. Well, we can talk to Miss Connie ourselves. We don't have to, you know, you don't have to participate. That's all right, Meta. Just cut us off. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding, Meta.
She always gives us great questions.
Well, we have a couple more minutes with Miss Connie anyway. So do you have any questions you want to ask Diana?
I just want to make sure that a free ebook on the internet is called A Gift of Vision, and we can download that from your website.
Readable on the website, and you can print it off the website, and you could save the pages if you wanted to. It isn't a download. It's actually there to read right on the website, page to page.
Okay.
So the
okay.
whole book isn't downloadable, but you're welcome to any part of it.
Okay.
It is copyrighted, but I freely share it with the universe as an example of my expression and my way of honoring my connection. Because I think if we take the time to write down our experiences, this is another one of the passionate things that I think in my life. A lot of people say that mystical experiences are ineffable, that you cannot express them in words. But
right.
I think if we believe that we can't express them, we won't try.
And
right. we
that makes total sense.
Learn to express them. We didn't learn to speak English the first time we tried either.
True.
But
right.
because we were passionate about our desire to communicate, we started practicing. And that the more we express the experience, the more we are able to communicate with it. And I know I go speak at a church on a Sunday, and I talk about seeing visions, and someone comes up to me afterwards and says, I see visions too, but I've never told anyone because I was afraid.
Right.
And it really cracked me up in the Harry Potter books when Harry said, I hear voices, and his friend Ron says to him, don't tell anybody, that's not good even here. But the truth is, you can tell me, and there are people who can hear that you have a divine connection. And
right.
as you honor that connection, even if you just keep a journal for yourself of the aha moments when your mind is expanded and the what I call the ah moments, when your heart is open, if
right.
you begin to write them down or tell the stories to a friend, you amplify that vibration and you get better at expressing. And if we truly are God expressing, and I believe we are, then the capacity to express is inherent in our very being. We are here to express that divine nature of who we are. That's why we came here.
Right. Very nice. Meta has thought of a question for you.
Oh. I got another one, but okay, go ahead, Meta.
Okay, Meta wants to know, how much can you influence others attracting in regards to your own attracting? And she put an example, I want someone to be a friend. Can I influence them?
Mm.
Well, free will applies. So if someone wants to be your friend and you see them as a friend and you do positive aspects of them, they will be attracted to you. But if for whatever reason in their belief system, you do not look like a friend, you can't make them do something they don't want to do. So we have tremendous power of influence if we imagine people having well-being. I remember one time Abraham said to a woman who was working in a doctor's office, and the woman said, I just look at the people out there and I imagine them healthy and whole and having great lives. And Abraham said, everyone should be so lucky as to have someone do that for them. That's what we do in the Ministry of Prayer when we pray for other people. We see what they've asked for realized. And we have great power of influence in that way. But to manipulate someone to do something for us individually, that's not... We don't have the power to do that. We can influence them to get what they want. And if what they want is to be friends with us, then that can happen. Is that a clear answer?
I think so. But that's like the power of prayer in healing someone and helping them become well. Not healing, but for them to focus on well-being so that they can become well in their in health wise too,
right?
Because when was well, Jesus said when two or more gathered, you know, it's done. So,
God and I are a majority, whether there's two or not.
Right. I love that. So that is a way that prayer works is also in my mind. Yes.
Absolutely. Just seeing the truth. When someone asks to be prayed for, they are willing for this to happen. You are in alignment with their willingness.
Right.
You know, when you say, I want this particular lover, and, you know, Brad Pitt, and he's married to somebody else, then that can be a problem. But if you say, I want my perfect lover, the universe can bring you the ideal person for you in the just the right timing.
Yeah, because sometimes
right.
the thing that we think that we want is not really the thing that we're that's vibrating with us.
Right.
And we cause, and I think anyway, you cause yourself a whole lot of angst and resistance and aggravation when you start focusing. Because I do know people who focus on one specific person.
Right.
And, you know.
That person has a choice.
Right. That person has a choice.
That person's choice is, with respect and appreciation, is such an important part of having a healthy relationship when you do get together.
Right.
I think it's about the two energies being positive when you come together.
Uh-huh.
And if it's a negative vibe, then that's resistance, and I don't think the two can come together. Does that make sense?
Well, two negatives can come together because they're
right.
That's true. I've seen two negatives come together.
I've been part of two negatives coming together in this lifetime, believe me.
Yeah, me too.
I remember what that feels like, and I'm glad that's not where I am right at the moment.
Just not fun. It's not fun. Well, Connie, I want to ask you if, before you go, if you would mind giving us, if you have it in front of you, the Ernest Holmes quote about church.
Oh, yes.
Do you have it? If you don't, I'll read it.
I think it's on my desk.
Okay.
But if you have it right in front of you, maybe it would be good for you to read it.
Okay, good. I have it right in front of me.
Okay, why don't you read it?
Our quote for the day, guys, people, girls, everybody, is sent to us from Connie Chandler, from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind, page 191, and it ties right in with our topic today, law of attraction and religion. It says here, we believe in every church and in all forms of worship. Above all, we certainly believe in God, because truth is infinite. It must be continuously unfolding in the consciousness of mind, and no one will ever have a complete understanding of truth. A complete understanding of truth would be a complete understanding of God, and a complete comprehension of God would be to become God. We know that more light will be given as we use that which we have, and we repudiate any belief which says that all of truth has been given. So this comes to us today from Connie Chandler. This is our quote for today, and it will be up on the website, the Indigo Room website. And Connie, would you just again let everyone know how they can find you on the internet and the silent ministry prayer number?
Sure. My website.
I mean the World Ministry of Prayer number.
World Ministry of Prayer, Silent Unity.
Yes.
My website is Connie Chandler, ConnieChandler.com. If you know how to spell Connie, Connee, you can just put it in Google and find me. My mother naming me something unique was really wonderful for me because I have a single word that you can Google that finds the website.
Oh, that's
not
cool.
Not everybody has that. The World Ministry of Prayer web phone number is 800-421-9600, and the Silent Unity phone number is 816-969-2000. Or if you don't have the means to pay for the call, the 800 number is 800-669-7729.
Well, thank you, Ms. Connie Chandler, and thank you for our thought for the day. And
it's a delight, Sydney.
For your prayer.
I'm so excited for you and this wonderful new show.
Oh, thank you. We were so happy to have you.
Thank
and
you
so
much,
nice
Connie.
Diana, too.
Thank you. You have a wonderful evening. We were glad to have you on the show.
Thank you. Please mute me so I can listen to the rest of what you have.
Yes,
to.
Yes,
okay.
We definitely will. We're not going to disconnect you. We'll just mute you.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was delicious.
Yes.
I feel like I had a shower. I feel all clean, spiritually clean.
Yeah.
And refreshed.
You know, she just has such a beautiful way of putting things.
I know.
It's wonderful to hear her talk. Her voice is, like, really soothing.
Right? That's
yes.
what I'm saying. It's like being near a waterfall or something.
Meta would like to thank Connie also. She said
Meta
it was very
says,
helpful.
Thank you, Connie. She says, still on the line, Meta. She can hear us. She said, you were very helpful, Connie.